Well, good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. What a blessing to be together again. I've been thinking about two stories in the Old Testament. They're somewhat similar. Both are about widows and prophets. I think both are something that we can learn from. Since our studies in January, the theme song was, Are You Longing for the Fullness? And so that song has just been going through my mind quite a bit. And so I was reading those two stories and just thought it might be worthwhile for us to look at those and see what we can learn from them. Let's kneel together for prayer. Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this day. We just thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. Thank you most of all for the blood of Jesus, for the cleansing of sin and washing us. Lord, our desire is that we would be more like you, conformed into your image, made like you. As we think about these two stories this morning, just pray, Lord, that you would put within us that longing to be filled by you, that you would be allowed to work in our lives, and that we could realize and remember that the oil that flows comes from you. So just bless our time together. We pray for any that couldn't be here because of sickness or whatever. We just lift them up before you and ask that you would bless them. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, the first story is in Kings. Well, both are in Kings. The first one is in 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll start reading in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, that's Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And Elijah went and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Very interesting little story there. One thing that I would like to notice about these two stories, we'll read the other one later, is that God doesn't always fit in the box that we might try to put him in. Now, that doesn't mean that God is unchanging and unpredictable. He is the same. God never violates his nature or his laws. He's unchanging in that sense. But our perspective and our understanding is limited and, I would say, often warped. And so in thinking about this story, we have here, it seems like, a Gentile woman. And she was a widow. What does the New Testament tell us that we're supposed to do for widows? Take care of them. I find it very interesting that here God commands a Gentile widow woman that is starving. She's going out to gather a few sticks to bake the last cake of bread that they have, and then they were going to eat and, she assumed, die. They didn't have anything else. But God came to her, that's what it looks like, and commanded her to take care of a man of Israel, a prophet, a very capable man. And here this widow woman is supposed to sustain him. What a fascinating story. Now, we would have expected that God might have come to Elijah and said, there's a widow woman over there in Zarephath that I would like for you to go and take care of her. Now, that's essentially what happened, but he asked this widow woman to take care of his prophet, and she was starving. She had nothing except a little bit of oil and some meal. How is she going to sustain him? Now, she could have, as she was gathering her sticks there, she could have told him, well, you're a man, go fetch your own water. You can go into the city and get some water. Why are you asking me to do it? But she, here was a command that she could at least follow. She could do something. She was out of food, but apparently there was still some water that she had access to, and so she was going to go get some water and bring it to him. And it seems that she started to do that. She started to go for water, and then he calls after her. Hey, wait a minute. While you're going, bring some bread for me. I want something to eat as well. Well, the thing that I like about this is she was honest about her condition. You know, at this point, she could bring the water, but at this point, it was too much. She didn't have what he needed now. And so she was just honest about it. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Now, I don't know if you've, most of you probably have baked already. How far does a handful of meal go? Doesn't go very far, does it? Not if Elijah's wanting some. He was probably hungry from traveling a ways. So anyway, she was honest about where she was at. She just told him, this is where we're at. Things are not going well in my house. And I think she knew that this was the prophet that she was supposed to sustain, to care for. But her resources had run out. She could bring him some water, but there was no bread for him. And I think that's a good lesson for us. Honesty is one of the things that we need if we want God to come and meet us in our situation. God wants to know, even though he already does know. I don't know if Elijah already knew what her condition was or not, but God certainly did. But it was when she opened up and just was honest about where things were at that the word of the Lord came. And I think there's a need for honesty in our lives. God can never change who we pretend to be. He can only change the real us and where we are really at. Well, Elijah here, he seems rather selfish. Sounds that way. He says, well, take that meal and do as you said. Bake a little cake, but bring me some first. And then you and your son can eat. Well, if you're remembering the little handful of meal that she's talking about, that's barely going to make a cake for Elijah. It's hardly going to be enough for a cake for him. So she's not going to have anything left over for her and her son. I really think it was a test from God. I think God had a test for her. And he was just simply asking her to trust him with the little bit she had. It wasn't much. It was a handful of meal. It was next to nothing. But the truth is, the little bit that we have sometimes is what we tend to hang on to, even when it's pitifully small, pitifully wretched. She could have explained to him that I would be so glad to share a big loaf of bread with you if I had an extra bag of meal in my pantry. But she could have made all kinds of excuses. But she went and made that meal, made that little cake and brought it to Elijah. Did what he said. Seems like she was able to trust God with the little bit she had. And this was a Gentile woman. I think Jesus refers to that in the New Testament, doesn't he? To her faith that she had. Well, question for us here this morning is, how are we with what we have? We can easily have this mindset. When the time comes, once I have extra time, I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to set aside time to have just that season with God every day after I have time, when I have enough time. When I have extra, I will give. Once there's extra money in my wallet, I'll be willing to give a little bit to God. I'll be willing to give. But how do we do? What do we do with what we have? Can we trust God with what we have? We can think that we will speak to others about Jesus when we feel more secure and capable. That's when I'm going to open my mouth. That's when I'm going to start sharing. Well, once I have that feeling of security and strength in the Lord, then I'm going to start sharing with others about the Lord Jesus. But isn't the time to give when we feel like we just have very little? This widow, she took the little that she had and gave it to the prophet first. I think that was an act of faith. And I have to wonder if her and her son maybe sat there and watched Elijah eat that. I don't know how old her son was. Doesn't really say. But could it be that he was crying as he watched the prophet eat their last bread that they had? The last little bit, the last few crumbs, there they went. I think they were real people. When we read these stories, we tend to, it's just a story that's in our Bible. But it's a very real story. They were real people. They had real feelings. Their hunger was real. Their dilemma was real. They were in a serious strait. They needed help. And here this prophet, the man of God, comes and wants to eat the last little bit that they have. Well, I really think that Elijah got to eat the stale cornbread that evening, and the widow and her son got to eat fresh. You know, in a pot of meal like that, down at the bottom, it's generally, it gets to tasting a little old. It was just the last little bit that was in there. It was probably a little on the stale side, old corn that had been around for a long time. But when God made some new, I think it was very, very good. But it seems when they got their meal out of there, there was just enough for the next time. Just enough meal for the next meal that they had. Just enough of flour there. And I don't know if they invited neighbors, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did. And I suppose when they invited their neighbors and their friends, and they scraped out the little bit of cornmeal that was in the bottom of that container, there was enough to feed all their neighbors as well. And isn't that our experience in the Christian life? You know, when we step out to do God's will, there is just enough of grace supplied for the moment. There's enough to do exactly what He told us to do. There's sufficient. If we reach into the barrel for the meal, we find enough. When we pour the oil out of the cruse, we find enough. There's enough there. Now, in the barrel of our devotional life, I believe there is enough there for every day. But there's not enough there for the whole month. But there's enough for the day. And if we don't use out of that devotional barrel, if you will, for a whole week, we may suppose we'd come back and find the thing almost full. But it doesn't work that way. At the end of the week, we won't find the barrel almost full. We again will find just enough. And most likely, it's going to be a bit stale. It might even breed worms and stink if we let it set there for too long. But when we go there to get some, we find there's enough. And I think that's the blessing of the Christian life. And they ate for many days. I guess until the drought was over. They ate from that barrel. I don't think that barrel was ever really overflowing. I know in the Christian life we could say there are moments of tremendous overflowing. But in this sense, I think there was just this barrel there and they could use from it, but it never was completely empty. You know, after feeding Elijah there, she could have given up. She had used all that was there. Why bother to look and see if there was enough there for her and her son? I don't know what all happened there, but I think there were some moments of faith. I don't know how everything unfolded. If she saw that there was still a little bit left when she made that cake for Elijah, I don't know. But there's a good possibility that there was nothing in there. That she scraped out the last little bit of it and took it, baked it, and brought it to Elijah. But as we know, there was plenty. There was plenty for her and her son. And I think in our Christian life, we must use the little bit that is in the bottom of the barrel. If we want to find more, we have to use the little bit that's there. If we want to reach for greater heights, we have to use what's there. It's kind of like patience. You can try to save that, but the fact is the only way to get more patience is to waste what you already have. To use it up on someone. That's the only way that you'll get more patience, is to take the little bit that's there, and that might not be much. But if you take that, you put it to use, you find that there's more. There's more. If we wait for the barrel to fill so that we have enough, we will stay parked in our Christian life. We're not going to get anywhere in our Christian life. We're going to stay in park. If we just wait, hopefully someday I'll have enough patience. Hopefully someday I'll have enough money. Hopefully someday the list could go on and on. Someday I think I'm going to have what it takes to do what God has already asked. That'll never happen. When God commands, He also supplies. That's something that you can bank on. If God commands, He also supplies. If we open our Bible and we see there's a command, something, a directive for us in there, and we don't have what it takes, we can be very sure, we can rest assured that God has and will supply exactly what we need. The widow there, she didn't have what it took to feed the prophet. But when she obeyed with that tiny little bit she had for her and her son, God supplied. God kept on supplying, and it was just a daily thing of continual supplying from God. I don't think she ever came to the point of feeling rather proud about her accomplishments in keeping meal in that little jar. She wasn't proud about what she did. She knew good and well the only reason that there was some there for the next day is because God had supplied. Because God had given. Okay, let's look at the other story that's in, we'll read that in 2 Kings in chapter 4. Second Kings chapter 4, and we'll start reading in verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy hand? In the house. And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, And shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and the children of the rest. Now this story is about a Jewish woman. She was also a widow, and her husband had been one of the prophets, but he was dead, and she was in trouble. Things were not well at her house. Her sons were about to be sold into slavery. I don't know what happened to incur this debt. Maybe her husband took out one of those home equity loans to improve on the house. I don't know. But so you'd have a matching fridge and range. They keep sending those papers to me through the mail wishing that I would take out a home equity loan. And I just think of the foolishness of some of that. But whatever the case, for some reason, this woman had debt. Or maybe her husband had debt. And she couldn't pay it. And the creditor was wanting her two sons to pay for this. So she found Elisha. Now this story is about Elisha, not Elijah. Elijah was the one that was the prophet in the other story. And Elisha was the one that had followed Elijah all the way until he was taken up into heaven in that flaming chariot. If you remember the story, Elisha was out plowing. I think that's a good lesson for us. It seems like God uses people that are already busy. I'm not sure how that all works, but somehow it's not those that are sitting and waiting. It's those that are already working that God puts to use. And so there he was plowing with his yoke of oxen, and Elijah came along and threw his mantle on him, and he followed him, burned his oxen and his tools there, and followed Elijah. And so Elijah was gone, and here is Elisha, and he encounters something rather similar to what Elijah had. So the interesting thing here is Elisha wanted to know what she had in her house. Well, first she said she didn't have anything, and then she remembered her little pot of oil. Just a little pot of oil. It wasn't much. I really think she had two things. She had something that was of far greater value than her little pot of oil. And that was, she had a believing heart. She was going to the man of God because she knew where to find answers. She knew this prophet and his God would be able to help her. She knew where to go to. She had a believing heart. And she trusted that God's prophet had the answers to her trouble. You know, he didn't do like Jesus with Peter. Jesus told Peter to go down to the lake and throw a hook in and catch a fish, and there's going to be money in his mouth and he can go pay their taxes. It could have been something like that, where God just in a very simple, quick way supplied. But here he asked what she had, and all she had was a little pot of oil. Most of us like the idea of God doing something great in a new way, something big. But for the most part, God uses what we have rather than some big, miraculous event. He just simply chooses to use us, weak, failing, vessels. He wouldn't be limited to us, but many times that's the way God works. This widow could have objected, said, you know, the oil is old. It could have been rancid. The old crock that it was in probably had some cracks and chips. May not have looked very nice, all dusty and dirty. Caked over with a little bit of dirt from the oil that they'd poured earlier. Surely God didn't want to use that old crock of oil. That's our way of thinking, isn't it? Surely God wouldn't want to use something like that. But that is exactly what God had in mind. That is exactly what God wanted to do. And I believe that is what God still has in mind for us. You know, Naaman, he was insulted when he was asked to wash in that dirty old Jordan River. And he thought about the nice clean rivers that he had at home that he could have washed in. You know, the fact is that he could have washed as long as he wanted to in those clean rivers and he would have never been healed. It had to do with faith and obedience. It had to do with what God had asked rather than what man could think of. No other river would have washed away his leprosy. Nowhere else. I think of him coming to the prophet there, and you know, he was expecting some great thing, wasn't he? He thought surely the man of God would come out, you know, and he'd take his hand and wave it over him, and there'd be this great experience of healing. Well, the man of God never came out of the house. He just sent Gehazi out there, said, go tell him to go wash 7 times in that river, the River Jordan down there. And he was angry. And I wanted to see God do something great. This little girl, she told me about the great God of Israel there. I wanted to see something great happen. But now, I'm asked to go wash 7 times in this dirty river. And I'm sure he's thankful that his servants had a little more sense than he did at the moment. It seems like he started going back, angry. You know, he was disgusted. But his servants came up and asked him, well, if the man would have asked you to do something very difficult, you know, say he would have asked for half of his kingdom or more, great money or some big, elaborate thing, wouldn't you have done it? Well, of course he would have done it. Well, then what is wrong with the simple command, go wash in the river? What's wrong with that simple command? Let's not forget that. Let's remember that God, for the most part, works exactly that way. It's in the little things. That's the way Jesus came. To the Jews, a stumbling block and foolishness to the Greeks. Both of them wanted to see something more. Something greater, something more profound and elaborate is what they were looking for. And so they found Jesus to be a stumbling block. Or the Greeks found him to be foolishness. But to us that believe, those of us that believe, he is life and power. What a blessing. Well, this widow also had a test of faith. Would she go and borrow vessels from neighbors before she knew how much oil was going to come out of that pot? I'm supposing at this point she believed the words of the prophet. There's going to be some oil coming out of that pot. But to go to the neighbors and ask them, this poor widow lady that was already in debt, I'm sure the neighbors noticed the creditor coming up the street. They watched him go into the house. They watched him leave again. They knew what was going on. And now she comes asking for vessels. What is going on with this lady? But it seems to me like they had enough faith to go borrow quite a few. I'm surprised. The words here, it says that they were to go to all the neighbors and borrow not a few. They were supposed to bring a lot of vessels, and they did so. Now, I'm supposing that there were curious neighbors. What is going on? What's happening here? And I suppose there were some neighbors that followed and went along down there to see what's going on. What are they doing with all these pots? But the prophet said, you close the door. Shut the door. Now, he didn't ask her to put out flyers and have a seminar to show people how to do this and have a big event where everybody can come and watch as she pours that oil from one little pot, that dirty little chipped pot, into these big vessels and fills them all up. Big seminar where everybody can watch and be inspired and have their faith. No, you go in, you shut the door. And I suppose there were some neighbors that did not believe that she poured all that oil out of that little pot, even after they found out about it later on. Now, that's the element of faith right there. It's not in a loud, elaborate way, but it's when the door is shut, when we are alone with God, there is where God can work. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't work in public ways. He does. But this is the nature and the will of God. We see it through Jesus Christ. He came and became a servant. He taught his disciples to pray in private. Does that mean we should never have a prayer in church service publicly? I don't think it's saying that. But if those would be the only prayers we have, or the most prayers we have, what a miserable Christian life that would be. Only a public show. But when we pray in public, it should only be something that is a continuation or an overflow of the life that we are already living in the closet. Now, after she had shut the door, took that little crock of oil and started pouring, it didn't seem like anything great. The door was shut. Not even the neighbors could see what was going on. Nothing extraordinary, just simple, faithful obedience to the command of the prophet of God. Just take that pot, pour it into the others, and that's what she did. You know, I don't think it mattered to that widow and the boys what the neighbors thought or what they didn't think about it later. They knew good and well that God had moved on their behalf that day. They saw the oil being poured from that little pot into the big vessels and filling them all to the brim. All the way up to the very last one was filled. They had witnessed a miracle. And I don't think they were ashamed of it either. Well, today, is your vessel chipped, broken, dusty, unappealing? I believe that is where God wants to work. That is where God wants to move. When we have little, seems almost nothing, when we start pouring from the little bit that we have, that's when God can start moving. I think this is a lesson that I haven't learned very well. I think all of us need to learn this lesson. It's when we take the little bit that we have and we start pouring. And I think in a sense, whether Christian or non-Christian, every one of us has been given a measure of faith, enough to respond to what God has told us. God gives to everyone that measure of faith. And we have to take that little bit. Before we're a Christian, we have to take that little bit and we have to respond to the call of God. As Christians, we take that little bit that we have and we start pouring. We will never grow. We will never eat of the fresh meal until we use up the little bit that is there. When we bring the little that we have, God has the ability to use it. If we aren't faithful with little, Jesus told us, who would entrust to us true riches? You know, God allowed that oil to continue flowing until every vessel was full. And I think as we pour, there's a measure like Jesus says in the New Testament, according to your faith be it unto you. Now, when we start pouring into vessels, if we just bring a few small vessels because we don't have the faith to believe that God can fill large ones, I think He'll fill the small ones, and that's all. The oil stopped after they had filled all that they brought. Now, that's a good question for us. What are we bringing for God to fill? What is it that we have brought with hopes of God filling? Empty vessels, not a few, a whole bunch of them. I believe God is wanting to fill. And I'm not talking necessarily of a health and wealth prosperity gospel here this morning. I'm talking about spiritual needs, spiritual desires, spiritual work in our life. We need those. We need to allow God to fill. It's beyond us anyway. We do not have the ability to fill our own vessels. If God doesn't supply the grace that we need, we're in trouble. But the question is, what are we bringing for God to fill? If we bring little, with little expectations, I think we'll receive little. If we don't really believe that God can move and work with the troubles that I have, then most likely there won't be a whole lot of receiving. You know, in this story, God supplied enough to pay for the debt and enough to live off of. The other story we looked at, there was enough there each day to continue supplying. Here, they got enough all at one time to live off of. And I think in one sense, God does that for us as Christians. He gives us all that we need day by day, and He gives us sufficient to pay the whole debt and to live off of. So anyway, I hope these two little stories inspired and encouraged you. I know they did me at different times as I've read them and just realized that God, in the way He moved there, is still wanting to move in that way today. In very simple, small ways, where there's insufficiency, where there's widows, where there's not enough to go around, God, when He steps in, there's more than enough. There's always enough to go around. What a blessing. Amen. God bless you.